old. Ray Fittipaldi from the Post Gazette with us now, Steelers insider. Ray, have you followed this story at all?
A little bit. Forget about Ayuk, guys. Salary cap's going down, so no big ticket receiver.
Do you really think that's going to happen now because of this?
I didn't Roger Goodell, I don't know if he said that in court or if he was interviewed and said that, but I thought I read that somewhere in the last couple of days that if they get hit pretty good with this lawsuit, the salary cap's going to go down. Now, I don't know if that's going to turn out to be true. There's still so many billions of dollars in TV revenue coming in every year that it's probably not going to go down, but it might plateau a little bit.
But if it's $12 billion, the league annually is making $19 billion right now. So that's more than half of what they make, Ray. Right. I should have thought about that immediately. Like, if that comes out of the revenue that gets generated from the league, I guess it could mean that teams have less money to work with, which, oh my God, all these contracts have been based on the salary kept going up and never stopping.
I know. How about that Justin Jefferson contract? How's that looking now?
The Steelers sitting pretty yet again, Ray. They still don't have to pay a quarterback. They are just well positioned for the DirecTV Sunday ticket fallout.
I mean, you guys remember what happened with COVID. I mean, the cap went down for a year or so, maybe 2 years, and then it was right back up after that new TV deal was signed. It was right back up. Now it's higher than ever. So, I mean, worst case scenario, you know, you go through a little blip like that again, but the NFL is a machine, man. It's not going to, this isn't going to cripple them long term or anything like that.
We had Mike Florio on yesterday, Ray, and we were talking about what Kenny Pickett's personal quarterbacks coach said regarding his exit here. And to paraphrase, the guy went to, I think, the Newark Star-Ledger and said that Kenny was basically, it was character assassination by the organization to make him look bad on the way out. And Florio's response was, did Kenny need help to look bad with the way he played? How much truth is there in the comment by the personal QB coach that it was character assassination by the organization on the way out the door?
Yeah, listen, guys, I mean, it definitely does depend on who you're talking to within that organization who will have Kenny's back. And, you know, they'll tell you, yeah, there were other people in that building who were talking bad about him. I don't know if I want to go as far as character assassination, but the Steelers definitely got their word out there pretty quickly on what they wanted the narrative to be. So, yeah, I mean, there are still some people in that building, you know, that believe Kenny was better than what he was in terms of how he, you know, handled himself on that exit. And then you talk to other people and, you know, they'll swear up and down that Kenny handled the whole thing poorly too. So honestly, guys, it just depends on, you know, which source you want to talk to inside that building.
Was that the only thing, though, the way that it all went down at the very end of his time with the Steelers? Was that the only thing on the radar, really, Ray? Like, it does seem like it went from, no, we believe in this guy, we believe in his intangible qualities to an extreme degree, to a very sort of swift 180 at the very tail end of his time.
Yeah, I mean, there was stuff that happened late in the season. I don't, you know, the exact timeline. When did Kenny get asked about when he watched? What did he learn when he watched Mason? Was that week 16 or week 17? I forget. But, you know, Kenny didn't handle himself well there. Came off looking bad. Came off like he was a little bit jealous of Mason. I thought, you know, you're in the middle of a playoff push and, you know, you're kind of out there saying stuff, you know, for yourself. So that maybe irked people a little bit. But, yeah, I think everything that happened within, what, the last – 3 or 4 weeks in the season, and the majority of this stuff happened, you know, once Kenny Pickett found out that he was going to be in a competition with Russell Wilson.
Kabali wrote that he doesn't think the Steelers would give Justin Fields a Jordan Love extension this summer, that the 1 year, $13.5 million, basically half of what he would have gotten on the fifth year option to lock him in for next year to make sure you had a quarterback on the roster, is just a bridge too far for the Steelers. A, do you agree with that, Ray? And if you do, what kind of contract extension do you think the Steelers would try to get done with Fields before the season started?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they do, guys. I mean, you would want to find out if he could play, and there's no guarantees if Russell Wilson plays well, and if Russell Wilson plays stays healthy, then you might not know, and you might be locked into $13 million for 2025. And you know Russell Wilson's going to want his money too. So there's no easy answer to this question. I think in the end, they're going to see what goes down in 2024, and then they'll work feverishly from the end of the season until the middle of March to try to figure out who they're going to pay and how much they're going to pay.
So you don't think anybody has a contract for 2025 when the season starts, Ray?
I don't. I mean, I think they're going to want to get done something done with Pat Freiermuth. They're going to want to lock him up. But in terms of quarterbacks, I just think they want to see how it plays out. I think that's been what the plan was since March, and it's changed.
Ray, do you think that Tomlin's relationship with Fields, the fact that he obviously was such a big fan of him, that Fields has to know that, plays in at all to their calculus here of kind of come what may with the quarterback position, because they know all things being equal, the player might want to stay here even if he doesn't get a contract offer because he knows the coach is in his corner big time?
Yeah, and Omar said on your station last week that it wasn't just Mike, you know, that I think he said we loved him, yep, you know, coming out of college too. So I think it's an organizational thing. You know, I've said this in the past, guys. I just think where the Steelers are right now in 2024 with the defense holding teams to 20 points or under, ideally, you need a quarterback like Russell Wilson who's going to protect the football and make a few more plays than Kenny Pickett. I don't think you need a guy like Justin Fields right now who is, you know, prone to turnovers and, you know, a guy who hasn't really over the long haul showed what, you know, what he can do in terms of what Russell Wilson can do. So I just think for this time period, right now, 2024, the Steelers need the skill set of Russell Wilson more than Justin Fields. But down the road, who knows? I mean, some of these contracts are going to come off the books and the team's going to change. But I think for right now, Wilson is the ideal quarterback for this football team if he plays well.
What level of tolerance do they really have if Wilson does play well? Like, just has, I'm not going to put numbers on it, but we all would agree he has just an objectively good season. Let's say they even win a playoff game. What kind of tolerance would they have for paying pretty close to top of the market money for a guy who's in his late 30s at that point?
I mean, I'm just going to throw a number out here, $35, $37 million over 2 years. So what, $75 to $80 million, I think, is over 2 years.
Man,
take him up to 37, 38. I don't think you go above 40 for a guy who's that old. That's just, I mean, what was Tom Brady making his final couple of years? I know he was on team friendly deals, but he wasn't breaking the cap when he was 40, 41 years old. So, you know, Russ can have a good year, but I don't know that he can expect, you know, those huge contracts that are being paid out to those younger guys.
Do you read anything into him working out with DK Metcalf right now that the Brandon Ayuk thing has been tabled?
I mean, I saw that. They're former teammates, I'm sure. You know, they hooked up. Where was that? California, LA, somewhere,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think two friends getting together, putting their work in before training camp. I wouldn't read too much into that. But, you know, Ayuk yesterday, everyone says it was a good meeting. I mean, we'll see what happens over the next month. But, yeah, maybe there is going to be another alternative down the road in terms of a receiver.
Ray, Russell Wilson was also boxing and working out with Manny Pacquiao's old trainer, Freddie Roach. What Steeler that you've covered in your time on the beat would have made the best boxer?
Well, you have the Tunch punch, right? Tunch Ilkin perfected that offensive line punch. He taught that. He taught every year. Wolfley has like a, I don't know if Wolfley still
Wolfley
has,
fought
like
Butterbean.
Yeah, I mean, he has like a boxing club or something in Bridgeville.
And what's going on with Wolfley's Twitter? Are we to really believe in his 60s all of a sudden he's tweeting nonstop and he's verified and these are all his original thoughts? I think that's very strange, Ray. It seems like he went the AB route and gave his Twitter account to someone to run it for him.
I'm going to be honest, guys. I haven't noticed, but there's been a lot of other stuff on my timeline, but I haven't seen Wolfley.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Well, that's okay, Chalooch.
See ya. Ray Fittipaldi,
all right,
everyone.
See ya.